Well, good morning. We are, if you want to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we're in two verses. As you're doing that, I want to introduce you to one of my lifelong heroes. This hero is my father, Scott Wallace. That is a picture of him. That is not a picture of me. We do look a lot alike. So all growing up, my father was a fighter pilot in the Navy. And so, as you can guess, as a child, I think, my dad is awesome, right? I mean, though, my dad can beat up your dad, that was easy for me, right? And so, my dad flew in the Navy an A-4 Skyhawk. This is a picture of the Skyhawk. And if you guys remember Top Gun, it was the trainer plane behind in front of the F-16. So this little scrappy plane that was flown. And so, all growing up, I looked up to my dad. And there were three key things that I remember growing up that helped me to think about my dad. This is his actual helmet and mask that he wore on a routine basis. He would have it home on his desk. And I just kind of sit there and, you know, that's cool, Dad. You know, just all, and I even wondered, somebody was talking about this. I wondered if my favorite color is blue because of it. I mean, that's just what I just looked up to him. And so that was a real big deal. Here's another thing. This is the end of the tail dragger on an A4. And you might be asking, what's a tail dragger? That's a good question. So it's right on the end of the plane is a, I can't remember what, it's a tail dragger. I don't know, there's no other better way to say it. This is right at the end. And so the reason that was on there is that my dad used to fly off of aircraft carriers. And he used to talk about the complexity of landing on a carrier. So you have this plane, this jet going really fast, and the pitching of the aircraft carrier. So the ability to kind of land at the same time with the carrier, I just thought, my dad is awesome, right? I mean, I love talking about this. So this was actually the piece that was on the back that when it landed on this runway that's not very long, the plane would actually catch a cable and it stopped. If you've never seen it, look it up. It's incredible the amount of planes and the kind of planes that can land on this little tiny runway. But there was one thing, though, growing up that I remember more distinctly than any other of them. And my dad had forgotten this until just this last week. This is a picture of his squadron that he was with. And this is the A4. But I want you to notice, in this picture, there's something very, very important about this picture. You see on the front of the nose, the SO4, that name right there says Scott Wallace. That's my dad's plane. My dad had his own A4 plane. And as a kid, I'm telling you, that was cool. That was, my dad is awesome. You know, I mean, just everything about it just made. And so all throughout my childhood, I looked up to my dad and I wanted to be like my dad. And so you can imagine. So I went into college and I went up to Iowa State as an engineer. And all throughout that, I had plans. I'm going to fly. That's what I'm going to do. And so I saw on a bulletin board at one point, Discovery flights, $35. I went, totally went up in and went up and totally went flying about. And it was good. And I thought, well, I wonder if I can do this. So during that time, there was a whole bunch of cutbacks in the military. And so as I was talking with the naval recruiter, he said, we can't guarantee you flight. You might not fly. And I thought, I'm sorry, excuse me? That's the whole reason I'm here, right? I'm not just going to the Navy. I want to fly because my dad flew, right? And so during that time, I got word that the Marines actually could guarantee flight. And I thought, okay, I kind of feel bad about this, but I'll go ahead and talk to the Marines, you know, because I thought, whatever, that'd be dishonoring. But I talked to the Marines. They said, well, how about we do this? We're going to go up in a flight. We'll take you up and we can go fly. And I thought, sweet, I'm all in. So day came, went out to the airport, gave us a left and right seat, had the two people behind us, the two as well. And the guy said, well, unfortunately, this plane cannot go upside down. I'm like, come on, man. No, but he said, but here's what we can do. We can take this thing, we can go directly up and almost kick back behind, and we'll kick the rudder, and we'll come back like this, and it'll actually simulate going upside down. I thought, sweet. And I thought, okay, here we go. He says, you ready? All right, I said, yeah. And we went up, and he started pulling like this. I went, uh-oh. And then he kicked over left, and I thought, I don't feel very good. And the entire rest of the time, I seriously reached over and I said, you got to take me down. And they specifically made a landing, let me get out, and the other guys went back up and then did a bunch of flying. And it was one of those times in my life I remember, shoot, I wonder if maybe I'm not cut out for this. And that was true, and that's still true. I'm not very good at roller coasters or any of that stuff. And so you can imagine my disappointment, even in college, even to this day, I actually often will think, I should have tried. I should have done it. Because I so want to be like my dad. So, interesting, growing up, that was my childhood, but even to this day, and my dad is gonna be, this is gonna drive him absolutely batty. But it is absolutely the truth. If you've met my dad, and some of you have, you will know that you're meeting one of the most gentle, kind, loving, humble men that you will ever meet. And to this day, guys, I'm telling you, I want to be like my dad. And I know that makes you feel uncomfortable, Dad, I'm sorry. But that's true. I want to be like my dad. This is the recording there. He's not sitting back there. Some of you guys thought that. But I look up to my dad. I looked up to him not only for what he did as a pilot, but for who he was and is now as a person, and, by the way, for all that he's done for me. He's one of the most generous men I know. And so, as I've been thinking about this text today, I was wondering, why is it that when we find people that we admire, that we want to be like them, right? What is that? Here's my contention. God has designed you that way. God has designed you that we want to imitate those we admire. Think of someone that you admire. Think of someone that you either growing up or someone that you do now. Would you not agree that you have at least at some level worked to be like them? Right? That's just what we do. We admire. We see the virtue. We see the value. We see the choices. See who they are. We think, I want to be like that. Well, today, Paul, in Ephesians, is going to give us a vision of what it means to look at who is this the most infinitely admirable person. It's Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give us a particular kind of command that's very similar. So I want you to go ahead and look at it. This is Ephesians chapter 5. And we're only in really, seriously, two verses today, which is super fun. And he says this, Paul says this, therefore, Ephesian church, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. His instruction to the church is be imitators of God. So I want us to ask the question here before we move on. Why? Why imitate God? If you remember, for the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul has been telling us why. He's been talking, he's been spending all this time saying, my God that I serve and I follow, he is admirable. And I want us to just take a moment here and just look back on Ephesians chapter 1. So if you can, just flip a couple pages back or in your app to kind of do the swipe thing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Just kind of enter in with him just a little bit here. He says, verse 3, chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Guys, he has given, he has blessed. He's a giver at the very core of who he is, our Heavenly Father is. Even as he, this is verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He has shown us favor. He has welcomed us into his plan, right? Before the creation of the world, he's saying, no, I have all this. I have this all planned out. Verse 5, in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. The God of the universe loved us and adopted us into his family. He's a loving father. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Guys, he's been gracious to us. He goes on and on and on talking about how awesome God is. He's admiring all that God is. And he spends the first three whole chapters doing the very same thing. And then in chapter four, he turns. You remember this? This was last semester. Paul, in chapter four, verse one, he says, therefore, walk in a manner worthy of this admirable God. Walk in a manner worthy of this God. Now, a couple notes here. Note here that he's not saying walk in a manner worthy or imitate God because we are in debt, right? That wouldn't quite make sense. Here's the comparison. Dad, you're awesome. I love all that you do. You're a pilot. That's cool. And your character is admirable. Man, I owe you. So I'm going to go ahead and copy who you are. I hope that's pleasing to you. That doesn't make any sense, right? Same thing with God. We look at him and go, you are everything to me. I'm alive because you have made me alive. So therefore, I'm just going to copy who you are, right? That's the heart of what is happening here. And one of those ways that we've seen this last week, Brent and Austin, Pastor Brent and Pastor Austin 2 weeks ago talked about this idea of putting on and putting off, right? That's the way that we become more like him. And so this imitation is somewhat an outflow of this instruction to put off and put on. But Brent said something really interesting last week. And he said it right at the end. I thought, I'm going to bring this back up because it's really good. He says, if you only put off, right, you only take the things off, but you don't put things on, that's called religion. Right? Do you see that? If I'm only marked by the things I'm not going to do, we all know what that looks like. It looks like religion. But he flipped it. And he says, if we only put on, if we only try to be like Jesus and don't simultaneously take off and put off the things that so quickly entangle us, he says, that's hypocrisy. Because you're going to try to be like Jesus and yet you're kind of still do the things that you know you shouldn't. That is the process. And so now Paul is saying, in light of this put on, put off stuff, I want you to be imitators now. I want you to imitate what he is. Now, this is not the first time we've heard this instruction. And as a matter of fact, this is, from start to finish, one of the key instructions to us as Christ followers is to be imitators. I want you to see just a couple of them. I'm going to put these on the screen. 1 Peter 2:21, Peter says this, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, here we go, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. Okay, the charge is, Jesus did this, these are all the things that happened, now follow where he went. Follow what he does, follow who he is, follow in his footsteps. Here's another one, this is John 13, 12 through 15. And he's just getting done washing the disciples' feet. This is verse 12. This is on the screens as well. For he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place. He said to them, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. Why? That you also should do just as I have done to you. And we could cite 100 other examples of this charge. Is our job is to know and follow Jesus. Know and follow what he is. And so here's the question. How are we going to do this? What does it look like now if this is truly the charge that we're supposed to take? How are we supposed to do this? Well, like rest of the instruction this morning, we seriously could spend a ton of time going through all the scriptures and talking about all the different ways that we need to follow in God's character, in Christ's character. I'm going to pick two this morning that are right here in this text, in the text before. So the text says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and here it is, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us. The first thing, the first how, is we need to walk in love, just as he did. Okay? So every day, we have this opportunity, don't we? We have the opportunity to walk and love those around us. But here's what's hard. People are hard to love, aren't they? And sometimes it's people in your family, and sometimes it's people out there. Not your family, it's just people out there, right? People are hard to love. But isn't that the point of this text? Is that you and I are hard to love, and yet Jesus said, you know what? I know you're rebellious and you're sinful. So while you were still sinning, while you and I were still sinning, Jesus said, I love you. I'm going to come for you. And now we have the opportunity to follow and imitate God in this way, to love people that are hard to love and who don't deserve to be loved. That is the privilege we have as Christ followers. And why? Because Christ first loved us. First one is walk in love. The second, and this is the foundation of the first, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, in our text, right at the beginning, 15:1, didn't sound right. I thought it was 5:1. It's 15:1. In verse 15, verse 1, it says the word therefore. Remember, when we see the word therefore, we have to ask a question. What is the therefore? Therefore, right? Okay, so this therefore is linked to the verse previously right before it. So I want you to look at chapter 4, verse 32. And I'll put this on the screen as well. This is in Pastor Brent's text last week. It says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Here it is, forgiving one another. Why? As God in Christ forgave you. Now that is challenging, isn't it? To be able to forgive people who have hurt you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a section. Peter comes to Jesus, and Peter says, how many times should we forgive? Is it 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. So in this text, Jesus is not saying, keep track. Okay, there's 1 time, for I forgive you. Okay, good. But yeah, I forgive you. 2, 3, 4, and going like, okay, I got made 77 times. I get to 77, I'm like, God, you're out, right? That's not what Jesus says in the text. So what he does in order to illustrate that, he tells a story. Here's the story he tells. This is Matthew 18, verse 23. He says this, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. It's like $1 million. 10 million bucks. I can't, it's like one of the millions area. He says, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and the payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring, have patience on me. I will pay you everything. And out of pity, listen, out of pity for him, the master of his servant released him and forgave him the debt. And so the scene changes. The servant who was forgiven leaves. It says, but when the same servant went out, he found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. It's got a couple $100. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. And so his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him. Listen, same words. Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. And he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. There's some people listening to what all that was going on. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you," here it is, "and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" Do you see the imitation? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers. See, this guy, he was in debt. There's no way he could pay it. He said, "I forgive you." And what did he do? He went and found a guy that owed him a couple bucks. And he said, "No. Your ability to forgive is based upon your understanding of this forgiveness." Based upon our understanding of this forgiveness. Let me guarantee you this. I guarantee this is true. You will never be able to forgive the people in your life that have hurt you by just trying to conjure up enough love in your soul. Won't happen, will it? You've probably tried. And it's because you can't do it on your own. People have hurt you too significantly that you think, "No stinking way I'm ever going to forgive that person." Until the charge comes here to be imitators of God, because Christ has forgiven you, and he's forgiven you so much that even in comparison, the person that hurts you, you're to look at them and go, "Okay, that it does. It still hurts. But you know what? Because Christ has forgiven me, I'm going to forgive you." And there is no other hope for you in forgiveness unless you understand that. That is the charge to you, to be imitators of God, both in the way that we love and the way that we forgive. So for the rest of Ephesians, we're going to be talking about more of what does it look like to imitate. We're going to get instructions about marriage, about children and parents and employers and employees. But here's one example. It's not in Ephesians. Next week, we're doing baptisms. This is the imitation of, we are buried with Christ through baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life. We're going to imitate Christ, that whole thing. That is your opportunity to say, "You know what? I should do that. I'm not imitating Christ in that. And that was a charge that he gave me. I would just, let's do it. Let's celebrate together." We would love that. So if this instruction to imitate God is so clear, the question I would like to ask and pose to all of us is, why don't we do it? Two possible answers, probably a bunch of others. Two possible answers I'll talk about this morning. Number one, we don't understand who he is or what he has done. You don't admire your heavenly Father. Now, Christ followers, it's very possible that you just haven't spent the time getting to know him. It's like me saying, "My dad's awesome, and he flies great, awesome planes." I don't particularly know him, though. It's different, isn't it? I mean, I can admire from afar, but I don't want to be like him until I get to know him and who he is. It's the same thing for you. Since the beginning, when we started the Daily Road, my family and I have been doing it, and I'm struggle often sometimes to stay in that kind of routine, but this has been one that's gone really well for me. And so on Friday night, we're at the SALT conference, 2,300 students down there. I hope you're thankful to Jesus for what's going on. And I'm sitting there, we're watching all these students worship Jesus, and I thought, "God, you are awesome." And some of that is because I've been fostering that in my own soul over the last month, just being in the Daily Road, so that when I came to that environment, I thought, "I know who you are. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing in my own soul. I know what you're doing in these students. You're awesome. I admire all that you are and who you are and what you're doing." Some of you need to get in there and start feeding yourself with the truths of who he is. There are some of you that you would actually say you don't have a heavenly father yet. And I'm so glad you're here. I love it that you're here listening. But it's very possible you don't know. Did you see the underlying assumption in the text today? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. He's referring to John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, but to all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Oh, what a great day this would be. If this day you thought, I think that's true. I don't know that I know my heavenly father. I don't know that I have a heavenly father. Receive and believe. We'd love to help you, and there's plenty of people in here that would love to know how to help you to make that true, that you'd be adopted into the family today. It's possible you don't know who he is. That's number one. But number two, it's also possible that we are imitating something or someone else. So I asked you earlier, who do you look up to? I want to ask you the question, why? Why do you look up to them? And before I go there, there's a quick caveat here, because what's interesting is that Paul uses the exact same word as imitate in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Look at this. He says, be imitators of me, Paul's saying this, as I am of Christ. Now, that's really interesting to me and kind of scary, actually, that I would be able to, and we would all be able to say, hey, follow me. Only because I'm following Christ, not apart from that. Now, obviously, I don't want you to follow the parts of me that are not good. I want you to follow the parts of me that are starting to look like Jesus, right? Be imitators of me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul is saying. So there are plenty of opportunities here to follow people for good reasons. But I do want you to ask the question, why do you look up to these people? It could be your parents, it could be friends, it could be mentors, school teachers, coaches. Why do you look up to them? And here's what I mean. All growing up, I looked up to Eddie Van Halen. Anybody else? Just me. Okay. Eddie Van Halen was one of those musicians very early on that was doing things on his guitar that no one had done. And he'd be doing this kind of stuff and doing two hands. And I thought, I want to be like that guy. And I want to be like that guy because I noticed what everybody in the world thought about him. And they thought, he's amazing. Look at how awesome he is. I wanted that too. I want people to look at me and say, wow, look how awesome you are. Oops. Right? I looked up to him. I even loved the way he smoked his cigarette. He'd be playing, and he'd take it, and he'd go like this, and he'd stick it around the top of his thing and still keep burning. I thought, sweet, I'm going to do that. And then he'd come out. He would be totally drunk on stage. He'd just be having a great old time, take a cigarette. I mean, I thought, I want to be like that. Whoops. Right? I wanted the glory that he was receiving from people. And when we talk about imitating, I think you could probably input your own name in there that you would go, yeah, I do. I have those people. Here's a question. If you were to meet said person, would you be more worried about what he or she thinks or more than what Jesus thinks? And if so, I think it's at least some indication of probably who you're trying to imitate. One of the challenges is, do you know what God is like so you can imitate him? And by the way, there are people that have no idea who the Heavenly Father is that have Christ-like character. They have things within them you think, I know that person is not following Jesus, but there's something admirable about the way they do this. Why? Because they match the way God is. They match the way Christ is. That's true. But the question is, why are you following them? Because here's what I find in my own soul. I find that I have a natural propensity to conform to this world, to imitate this world. That's my natural tendency. And Paul says this very clearly in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's saying this. Let me put it in a different word. Do not imitate this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's my natural tendency. And so I have to be careful. I have to say, why am I following these people? Because the natural outflow of orientation is conformation. Not confirmation, but conformation. Let me say it again. The natural outflow of orientation is conformation. Meaning, if you orient yourself around a particular idea or person or idea or concept, you will conform to that idea or concept or person. And I think this is why 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Right? You can be the most godly person, but if you surround yourself with things that are unlike Jesus, you will become like that. And let me just say this as a side note. Parents, the greatest thing that you can do for your children, let me reiterate it. The greatest thing that you can do for your children is to live lives worth imitating. They will hear your instruction, and you ought to have instruction. But your instruction without a life that's worth imitating comes off really poorly, doesn't it? And we all know parents that that's the way that they do it. Do as I say, not as I do. Oh, that's not how we want to be. So what are we to do with this keystone? Two possible applications. Make it your goal to admire your Heavenly Father. When you wake up in the morning, your job is to comprehend, get in the Scriptures, and let the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit help you to comprehend the magnitude of the glory of God. We've sang this as a church for, I don't know how when it was written, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Things of earth are not evil. As a matter of fact, they are the gift of God. It is right for us to enjoy and appreciate the gift of God. But something happens when those things, when you see the glory of God, those things kind of start to pale in comparison, right? Because here's what happens. The more you come to know who he is, the more you want to be like him. The more I get to know my dad, the more I want to know him, the more I want to imitate him. That's just true. Your job every day has to wake up and say, I need to force this little brain and help this little heart of mine be captivated and admire what is infinitely admirable. Make it your goal to admire him. And number two, practice this imitation. Practice this imitation. Now, there's a natural reality that comes when you admire something, right? It's a natural tendency to be like that. But here's something that's interesting when it comes to following Jesus. Following Jesus means imitating him and all that he stands for. And what does he stand for? At least this was his predominant thing he stood for. He modeled a life of self-sacrifice and self-denial. That's not natural, isn't it? I love all that God is. I admire Jesus, but that is not my tendency. That is not my tendency. And so I have to, at that point, say, I love and admire you. That is not what I want to do, but I'm going to make a choice because I believe and I see the vision of becoming more like you. Just like we sang just a little bit ago, make me more like Jesus. That's the heart of this text, but you're going to have to practice it. Self-denial is something you practice, and you have to train your body to become like that. Because notice this, look at the end of verse 2. Look at verse 2 in our text today. And walk in love as Christ loved us. And listen, there's three attributes here. Gave himself up for us. A fragrant offering, right? He just offered himself, and a sacrifice of God. That is not natural for any one of us. You must practice doing that. Keystone, I hope someday you're able to meet my dad. Truly, some of you have, and I know you're going, yeah, that's true. He is one of the most gentle, loving, kind, generous, and humble, by the way, and he's going to hate that I'm saying all this. I'm sorry, but it's true. And you will think, yeah, I see why Todd wants to be like him. But this morning, you have the opportunity to know your Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father is infinitely more admirable than my Father. And the more you come to know him, the more you will want to be like him. Let's encourage each other, inspire each other on today to do just that. Let me pray to that end. Lord, so challenging for me to think about denying myself and thinking of others as more important than myself and being a sacrifice in things and to work hard. Those are all things that don't come natural to me. But Jesus, specifically when I look to you and the way that you have treated me and who you are, I want to be like you. And I know, Lord, what you want is for me to be like you so I can display more of who you are to the people around me. And so, Lord, as a church, our desire is to follow you. And I pray this morning you'd give us a resolve to be disciplined, to behold and admire who you are so that we can practice becoming more like you. Lord, give us that resolve today, individually and collectively as a church. Lord, we love what you're doing. Do it more and more in our souls. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.